Good morning. I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Today is a day that we give the tribute to fathers. It's by presidential declaration, it is actually Father's Day. It's a holiday. But more important than that, I want to give personal tribute to all you fathers and all you future fathers. Anybody today that has a father, we do well to give tribute to them for what they do and most importantly for the role they fill in the lives of their children. All of us are here today because of the influence of somebody in our past. And for many of us, the most powerful influences in our lives come from our parents. And they've been influenced by their parents, and they've been influenced by their parents, and so on. And outside influences can also play a role in shaping one's life too, but mostly we're influenced by our parents. And the main reason for this is that we're born into this world knowing nothing, and we have to learn everything from someone. Where do we start? It's by observing and doing what our teachers teach us. And as a father, as the leader in the home, we pick up a lot from him as a leader. A father's influence and example reaches to his children, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren, and down the line. That song, Faith of Our Fathers, had been going through my mind earlier today, and that is an example of influence that we're here because of the faith of our fathers. There is a reason why we are here in America. There's a reason why there's a freedom of religion. Some of that is actually due to the fact that some of our fathers years ago suffered for the conviction that they would serve Christ above an earthly kingdom. And that concept, that separation of church and state, was a totally foreign concept up to the time of the Reformation there. And a lot of people died for that. Anabaptists especially. And that concept is it today, that separation of church and state is something that is not uncommon today, that idea. But in the Reformation, when this persecution was going on, it was. That's not what I was going to talk about, the Reformation, but we're here today because of the influence of those that have gone before us. I titled the message today, The Influence of a Father's Example. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture there simply means the whole training program, which our example is a powerful training tool. We're using our children use our lives as a pattern to go off of. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. And Proverbs 22:6 says, Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And also, fathers, Colossians 3:19 says, Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Verse 21, Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. They're watching our example. They're looking at us as a pattern. I'd like to look at a story today of two fathers, and I'd invite your attention to Genesis chapter 12. I'd like to look at the story of Abraham and Lot. They were two fathers, and they made choices in life, and their descendants here. Genesis 12, 1-6 says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Excuse me, that was supposed to be 1 through 5. So Abram was called out of Haran by God, and Lot went with him. Lot was Abram's brother's son. Lot went with Abram. So Abram was called out of Lot. Abram was a man that listened when God spoke, and when he was sensitive to what God had to say. So when God said, "Abram, let's go," Abram packed up his tent and put his things in motion and was ready to go. And Lot went with him. Lot and Abram's wife, and I don't know who all else went. But when God said go, Abram went, and Lot went with Abram. They went to Egypt for a while, and then they came to Canaan. But when they came to Canaan, there was increased wealth. Abram and Lot both, God blessed them. Their possessions increased. They had more cows, more livestock, more servants. There was increased wealth there. And the land that they were at was not sufficient to handle this many animals in one place, this many people and this many animals. Let's read Genesis 13, 1-7 here, and we'll read that account here, just the next chapter over. It says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land." There was a disagreement that came up. This was a strife, or a disagreement between Abram's household and Lot's household. And there was a potential for severe conflict. And family feuds usually start over small strifes, small problems. And if nobody does anything about it, they turn into big problems, and they can go on for generations. There's people, there's families, even that I know of, that for generations they don't like someone from the other family. They don't even really know why. It's other than grandpa and them, they just always grew up not that the feuding with this other family. So this conflict was. Potential for conflict was here. But Abraham did something about that. Abraham went to foster disagreement. Let's read verse 8 through 18 here. Peacemaker Abraham. It says, "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and dwelt there, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So Abram the peacemaker said, it is not good for us to have this strife between us. He said, there's not enough grass here for the land to support us. And there isn't. In the country right around Hebron there, it is mountains and rocks and not much grass. And if we would look at it, we'd say it's close to desert. But in the valley there, the Jordan Valley, where the river goes through, where Sodom was, there was plenty of grass. It was a fertile place. It was an excellent place for Lot to increase his wealth. And I often wondered, but the biggest problem there was that there was these wicked cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, right there in those valleys. I often wondered how this looked for this farmer to come marching into town with all his cows and, or not cows, but all his animals. How it looked to come marching into town there. I wonder how, where he put them and where he fitted them all in. But Lot moved into Sodom, it said. We don't know how long Lot lived there. But Abraham avoided this conflict by separating and giving Lot the first choice. He said, you pick whatever land you want and I'll go the other way. And that way we won't have to fight about this. So Lot, in his heart, he looked around and picked the best land for himself. So Lot had a selfish streak in him, so to speak, as he wanted to look out for himself, number one. Never mind that Abram had taken care of him all these years and took him under his wing and helped him grow after Lot's dad had passed away. But Lot chose the best land for himself. And I don't know if Abram was feeling a little sore about this or not, but God came to him and said, Abram, in verse 14, after Abram and Lot separated, he said, look up now, look north and south, east and west, as far as you can see, all this land is going to be yours. So you can walk up and down in it, it's all yours. I'll give it to you and to your children. So Abram is a man that listens to God and he believes God, but Abraham has no children. And God is saying he's going to give it to him and his children, but Abraham is getting up in years. There, in his mind, there's no way God is going to provide children for him. But he believes God. As a result of the choices that Lot made, he packed up his things. He moved his family and all his livestock down to the plain of Sodom. He pitched his tent in Sodom. I don't know. It says he lived in Sodom, pitched his tent toward Sodom. It wasn't long till he was in Sodom. We don't know how long he lived there, but he had an eventful life while he was there. While he was there, in Genesis 14, I won't read that here, but while he was there, there was an invading army that came. There was a king that had, there was kings of four cities that came against kings that had five cities. Here, Sodom and Gomorrah and some other cities around there. They fought and conquered them and took everybody, everything, everybody, and captured them and were moving out. When a messenger came to Abram and told him that Sodom was taken in this battle. So Abraham took a small army, only 318 people. It wasn't really an army, it was just his household men. And he went down, and God was with him, and they overthrew all these four kings here and recovered all the people and the spoil. And that speaks for Abraham. He's a peacemaker to start with, and yet he doesn't hold this against Lot. Lot made the choice to live in Sodom, and as a result of Lot's choice, he was captured. But Abraham rescues Lot. Abraham rescues Lot and brings him, restores him back to his place. Abraham could have just let Lot suffer the consequences of his choice, but he rescues him in all five cities. In chapter 18, God comes to Abraham and says that and tells him he is going to overthrow Sodom. Let's read 18 verses 1 through 22 here, I believe. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, you be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the same time, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And then the rest of the chapter, Abraham is talking with God. God is going down to have a look to see if there's any righteous people left in Sodom. And Abraham is asking God. He starts at 50 and then he second guesses himself and works his way all the way down to 10. And God promises that if there's 10 righteous people in Sodom, that he will not destroy that city. Abraham, the heart of compassion Abraham has in his heart, like God's, for the people in the city and for Lot his nephew, amazes me. God comes to Abraham and tells him he's going to destroy Sodom. Abraham pleads for the city because of Lot. Abraham walks with God. He talks with God. His talking and walking with God is a part of Abraham's life. The Bible doesn't tell us if Lot walked with God on a daily basis like Abraham did. It just says Lot was in Sodom. He was in the gate. One thing that's unique, both men were hospitable. Abraham, when the three strangers came to his tent, or the three men came to his tent, he ran and made a meal for them. When the angels came into Sodom, Lot went and made a meal for them and brought them in. Both of them were hospitable. But God said of Abraham that I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. God knew that of Abraham. But when the angels went into the city to talk to Lot, they told him to get his family and go with him because God's going to destroy the city. So Lot went and tried to round up his family, and they all laughed at him and mocked him. They didn't believe him. So Abraham, in his communion and his relationship with God, he was interceding for Lot and the city of Sodom. And he thought that surely out of a city the size of Sodom there would be 10 righteous people. And so he left it at that, and God went to look at the city. Let's read chapter 19 yet, down to verse 28. This is the story of the angels going into Sodom here, and the discourse with Lot. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door with the They were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they worried themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters, and with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. So, yeah, God was merciful to Lot, even though Lot made the choice in the beginning to move into this wicked city. And even though God's commitment to Abraham was for 10 righteous people, God could not find 10 righteous people, because there weren't 10 righteous people in Sodom. There's only 3 or 4. But 3 survived. They went out. But Lot's heart was still in this city. And when the morning came, he did not want to leave. He lingered there, it said. And the angels just dragged him out and said, Go to the mountains. And Lot didn't want to go to the mountains because it wasn't pleasant up there. It was back to the desert up there. So he said, Can I just go to this little town? Please let me go to the little town. It's just a little town. The angel said, Okay, go, but hurry. So he went there, and just as they got to Zoar, that little town, the sun was coming up, and then God rained down the judgment on Sodom. And Lot's wife's heart was still in Sodom also, and she turned around to see what was happening, and God took her life. So Lot's heart was still in Sodom. His decisions to move there in the first place cost him his family. The influence the example that Lot had given was one of looking out for himself first. And his heart longed for the things around him. He didn't want to leave. And yet the Bible still calls Lot a righteous man. Now, the result of Lot's choice there was that he lost his whole family except the two daughters. Abraham's choices. Abraham just was a peacemaker. He did what was necessary to keep peace between him and Lot. He was a faithful man. He believed God even when it looked impossible. He walked with God. He was obedient to God. He listened when God spoke. He held no grudges, even when it looks like his nephew is taking advantage of him. He was hospitable. He believed God, even when it looked impossible to believe God. Abraham's actions left an example to his family when he did have one, which God granted him that later. But Abraham's example to his household was different than Lot's example was to his house. Lot lost his family as a result of his decisions and his selfishness. Abraham kept his family as a result of his peacemaking and his walk with God. God made Abraham's family a great nation. Christ came, God's promised Redeemer came through Abraham's family. And Lot's family, his two daughters there had two sons, illegitimate sons, and they became the father of two nations, Ammon and Moab. And Ammon and Moab were always a thorn in Israel's side. They lived right close to Israel there, and they were always a thorn in their side. Balaam was working for Balak, which the king of Moab there when Israel came through, and he gave Balak instructions on how to get Israel to sin. He couldn't outright curse them, but he gave Israel instructions on how, gave the king of Moab instructions on how to make Israel fall, how to get God's judgment on them. So the result of Lot's choices was disaster, and the result of Abraham's choices was God's chosen people. So I'd like to talk a little bit about a father's example for us personally here. As a father's example has far-reaching consequences. The example that we have, that we are in our own families, is being picked up by our young children. We must be what we want our children to become. We can tell them the right words. We can tell them the ideals that we have, but they pick up our true character by our life, by our example. Our values, by and large, are absorbed by our children If my son gets extremely frustrated when his shoe doesn't come off like he wants it to, there's a good chance that he's seen Dad get frustrated when maybe he's stripped a bolt off when he's taking the tire off of his truck. And he picks up that response. When I see it in my son, I say, well, that's wrong. I mean, that's not, we don't do that. But he looks at me and sees how I respond in a situation and thinks, well, that's how we do. A child's concept of God is shaped, at least initially, by how Dad relates to him and to circumstances. He tends to view God the same way. If Dad was lenient with disobedience, he views God as lenient with disobedience. If Dad is hard on mistakes, then God is hard on mistakes. If Dad is a perfectionist, and I can't do things well enough to suit Dad, then God surely can't be pleased with me unless I am perfect. Our children's concept of God is shaped by the way we treat and influence them. And our example is like a pattern. A flawed pattern will make flawed copies. When Phil cuts out armrests for porch swings, I assume he uses a pattern. But if the pattern If Tylen sneaks out to the barn or out to the shop and cuts a little chunk out of the pattern for a trick, then all the pieces that are cut off this pattern are going to have this little nick in them. A flawed pattern makes flawed copies. A godly father can provide his children an example that will give them tools to relate to life. Reference points are created which shape the way this person relates to situations in life. Remember, a small child comes knowing nothing. And as they grow up, the influence that they are under and they pick up influences their life for the rest of their life. When they are adults and they get to looking at dealing with life, they're going to, all their reference points and the way they respond to it is based on how they, on the influences were when they grew up. And as fathers, our example plays a huge role in shaping those reference points. A father who spends time with his children can observe firsthand the effect his example is having on them. And spending time with our children is key in knowing what, where they are, how they're responding to our, in our home, what they're picking up. And I know outside influences have a bearing too on especially teenagers and as they get into that stage, but I'm talking younger children as they're forming their character. A father's influence goes a long way in shaping that. So what are ways a father influences? Well, a father leads out in his home. He teaches his children about life, both orally and with his character. He teaches what's important to him, integrity, ethics, motivation, self-control. Teaches worship, which is about God. Teaches relationships with family, others, authority, and with peers. And a lot of this is by example here, too. Commitment and thankfulness. All the things that we would like to instill in our children, we do well to do to be the person that we want our children to become. What are things that hinder a good example? As we saw in the story of Lot, selfishness is something that will hinder a good example. Selfishness basically puts my wants, my desires, and my pleasures first. Stubbornness, a lack of respect for civil authorities. If we get stopped and we talk negatively about the civil authorities, that is picked up by our children as well. If there's our attitude is picked up by young ears. A lack of integrity is also a hindrance to a father's good example, which could be shading the truth to sell something. Maybe if my lawnmower burns oil and it has a cracked belt, but I sell it as top-notch work in working order. Or maybe I have a car that's got a window motor that's out. Now there's all kinds of opportunities to shade the truth to in life. Also, manipulating or spinning facts to leave the desired impression or to leave me in the best light is also a lack of integrity. Anger, unforgiveness, or an unforgiving spirit are things that are picked up also. Disobedience to what we know God would have us to do. Our lives, dads, are an example one way or another, for good or for bad. Our reference points of right and wrong and dealing with life are based on our past experiences and the influence of those we receive training from. Our children's reference points will be shaped by their experiences and the influence of those that they receive training from, which is us. We must be what we want our children to become. That's the challenge I'd like to leave with us today. We must be what we want our children to become. If our example is to, if we want them to be what our ideal is, then we need to live that ideal first. May God bless all of us as fathers and give us wisdom to be godly and influence our families for Him. Let's kneel for prayer.